This is Digital Story Podcast number 955, July 9th, 2024. Today's theme is, Are You an Off-the-Grid Ready Photographer? I'm Derek Story. Some of the most important images in my personal library were captured during the Tubbs Fire of 2017. I documented the events the best I could during our 10-day evacuation flee. But I could have done better, much better, had I been prepared. And I wasn't. Whether it's in time of emergency or fulfilling a desire to just get away, off-the-grid readiness is sure to pay dividends at some point in the near future. In this week's podcast, I share what I've learned over the last 7 years. I hope you enjoy the show. So I want to start out today with a news article that was published in the Texas Tribune, July 8th, 2024, which is the day I'm recording this podcast. Hurricane Beryl has knocked out power for more than 2.7 million Texas customers as of 12:59 p.m. Monday, based on estimates from PowerOutage.us and CenterPoint Energy. So we all know that reports like this are commonplace. Now, this show today isn't about doom and gloom, I promise you. But what if we could combine emergency preparedness with outdoor adventure and our passion for photography? In other words, doing what we like helps prepare us for an event we don't want, but need to be ready for. Kind of interesting, isn't it? So I have this camping trip coming up in a few weeks that I'm so looking forward to. And these outings have evolved a lot over the last few years, becoming more enjoyable than ever. In part, that's because camping gear has improved many of those new items I will talk about today. Additionally, getting away from early morning leaf blowers, cranky commuters, and a steady stream of discouraging news has its advantages as well. I also view my solo camping trips as dry runs for disaster preparedness. In a most enjoyable way, I test my evacuation system for our family, including cooking options, sleeping accommodations, power supply, and more. And I never used to think of camping this way. Camping used to be just camping, right? I want to get away for a little bit. I'm going to drive off in my car. I'm going to find a great campsite. I'm going to hang out there for a couple days, going to reconnect with nature, and then come home and feel refreshed as I pick up my normal duties. That's what camping always was, and never much more than that. But now I've learned, because of all the things that have gone on, no matter where you live, you're going to have to deal with something. Texas is dealing with this storm system right now. There's oppressive heat all over the U.S. at the moment. We have it here in the West right now as well. And out here in the West, in particular, that can lead to fires, and that has its own set of consequences. There's always something going on right now. We all know that. So the very gear that I use for my enjoyment, for camping, for getting away, can also be just of great help if something weird happens and we have to take care of ourselves for a few days while everything gets sorted out. So now camping is emergency preparedness and enjoyment in a most fun way. I'm going to give you an example of some of this new stuff that I've been playing with over the last few years. One of them is brand new. In fact, I'm going to be writing about it next month. I'll be writing about it in August. And it's something called TentBox. And what this is, I've been seeing this more and more when I've been camping. It is a tent that literally goes on top of your car. You have to have racks or something to put it on, but these will go on almost any car. I see them on smaller, like Audis and so forth. And of course, you see them on bigger SUVs, pickup trucks, all that kind of stuff. And essentially, the tent is on top of the car. And when it's folded down, it compresses So when it's folded down, it's about 18 inches on top of your car, and it just looks like you've got an 18, inch tall package that you're carrying around. It has a nice cover on it and all that. You know, it's like, oh, okay, a little extra storage on top. And then you get to wherever you're going, and these things set up in just a couple minutes. Basically, you take off the cover, the tent itself pops up, you lock in a couple little poles that are built in, your sleeping bag, your mattress, everything's already in there. It has a collapsible ladder that comes down, and then suddenly you have a wonderful place to sleep and hang out. It's got screened windows all the way around because you're on top of your car. You've got this great view. And I know it sounds weird when I'm describing it, but when you see them out in the wild, they go, wow, that's fantastic. There are many reasons why I'm interested in this. One of them is that what I've been doing is actually camping out inside my SUV, which works great. I mean, it's an electric SUV. It's an ID.4. So, I mean, I have, air quality control inside, and I have all that sort of stuff. I have a nice big moonroof, so it's not claustrophobic. But the problem is that you have to move stuff out in order to make room to sleep. And what do you do with that stuff they have to move out? Well, I pile it in the front seat, or, it's set up in the campsite itself. With this, you have a sleeping arrangement where you don't have to move anything inside. So you can pack everything really super organized inside. And when it's time to go to bed, everything just stays there. you just lock it, you go up the ladder, and you go to bed on top of your car. So I'm fascinated by this. And as I said, I'll be testing it the first week of August, and I'll be writing about it in mid-August. But this is one of those things where if you have this dialed in along with everything else that you have for your emergency preparedness and/or/camping, then boom, you have it ready to go. You've already tested it. You know how it works. And if you have to be on the go for a bit, you'll be a lot more comfortable than if you just have no plan at all, which is, I've seen the no plan at all. That happened to me in 2017. I'm never going through that again. So that's just one example of this evolution of equipment that I'm seeing that makes this all so much more doable. And there's more. There's more things. So what I want to do here is go over a short list of basics that I've done for my preparedness and for camping, and I've tested this many times. I can load the car up in just a few minutes. Now, when I get back, it takes longer to put everything away because I clean it and it's all stored in plastic containers with lids so that if I have to bug out quickly, I can. So it is a little bit longer to put everything away when I get back, but when I leave, it's really easy because it's ready to go, because that's a big part of the idea. But let's go over the basics. So I'll do the real basics first: food, water, sleeping, and then I'll get into the fun stuff, which is power and electronics and cameras and computers and stuff. But let's start out with the basics. Food is important, and it's one of those things that you don't really think about, maybe think about correctly, I should say, if you have to be on the go. In other words, for me, having a whole bunch of canned goods isn't really practical for what I need, because I'm not going to lug those canned goods wherever I have to go if I'm evacuating, right? I'm not going to want to do a whole lot of cooking where I take a can of this and a can of that and put it in a pot and, stir it up, because then I have to clean all that stuff and I probably don't even feel like doing that, or maybe don't even have the ability to do that given my situation. So I've looked at food differently since I've been embarking on this, V2 of camping enjoyment and preparedness. And I've been leaning more on dehydrated food that's used for backpacking. Now, if you haven't had this in a while, just like everything else in the world of camping, it has improved over the years. And basically, you have these pouches that have all sorts of different meals in them. And I mean, stuff that you want to eat, like chicken and rice or curry chicken, or beef stroganoff. I mean, they have all this stuff in these pouches. They say they serve two. Okay, I'll admit, I eat a whole one by myself. And what you do is you boil water, a certain amount of water, and it tells you how much. You pour the hot water, the boiling water, into the pouch, and you seal up the pouch. You wait about 5 to 7 minutes. It cooks and reconstitutes, and then you open up the pouch, and then you eat right out of the pouch. So the only thing that you have to clean up is whatever you're eating with itself, the utensil, because the pouch is disposable. You don't have any dishes to do because all you did was boil hot water. And you have what I think is a pretty nutritious meal. So what I do is when I go camping, like when I'm going to go here in a couple weeks, I will use the food that I have stored for emergency. It's been probably in its container for, I don't know, a year, let's say. And then what I'll do is I'll buy new food. So I'll use the old food and then replace it with the new food in my storage when I get back. And the camping trip actually allows me to rotate these meals so that I always have stuff that, you know, hasn't expired yet if something unexpected happens. When I'm camping, I don't have just this food. Like, I will make pancakes one morning or something like that. And even that, I have this great mix that comes in a container. You just add water and all you do is shake it, and then you pour it onto the griddle and you have your pancakes that way. So, I mean, there are so many cool little shortcuts that store well, that don't require a whole lot of fuss, because you never know where you're going to have to prepare these meals. But the one thing you do know is that whether you're camping or evacuating, you have to eat, right? You have to eat. And I think that this evolution in food really makes this easy. And honestly, if you try one of these things, they taste really good. I mean, I'll tell you one of my favorites, and I even have this for dinner sometimes. It's a breakfast scramble, and it has eggs, it has potatoes, it has some bacon in there, all the stuff that you would want in the scramble. Again, just add hot water, let it set a little bit, and eat it right out of the pouch. And it is delicious. It is so good. And one thing that I do sometimes is I'll bring some flour tortillas, and then I'll just make a breakfast burrito out of it as well, which is even more delicious. All right, so I'm getting hungry here just talking about this. The idea is, though, that instead of lugging a bunch of cans and stuff like that all over the place, you don't need to do that. If you have some of this dehydrated food, you have to kind of figure out how many people are going to be going with you if you have to evacuate, all that, and have enough for a few days, then all of your options are open, and it's so much easier. So that's a big one on my checklist. That was a big breakthrough, switching over to, you know, this backpacking meal thing instead of lugging other stuff around that just doesn't work. It's not practical. Second thing you need, of course, is water itself, and you're going to need fresh water. I don't like giant tubs of water. I like my water in 1 gallon containers. Make sure they're clean containers, right? Containers that don't leach any nasty stuff into your water when you store it. But the reason why I like 1 gallon containers is because I can kind of fit them in different places in the back of the car, as opposed to just trying to lift and lug something that's a lot heavier, like a 5 gallon container. I also think 1 gallon containers are easier to refill if you get a clean water source. They're just, I think, easier all the way around. So I tend to store and carry 1 gallon containers and take with me for camping. And then, of course, I have, you know, my own, you know, individual containers. So you just pour from the 1 gallon container into your water bottle and off you go. Now, sleeping is an interesting issue because unless you have a rec van, you're most likely looking at some sort of tent for shelter. Now, personally, I love tents. I've always loved tents. Sometimes I feel like a little kid in a fort with them. You know, when you get your tent all set up and everything, you get your bag and your pad in there and maybe a little light hanging down, a little LED light and all that. It is so much fun. It's like a total kid thing for me. But I don't like setting up tents very much. And they do take up space inside the car that I'd rather use for other stuff. So that's why I'm interested in this tent box, because then I'm not taking up space because it's on top of the car. Plus, the sleeping bag and the mattress are in there already. That's part of that 18 inches when it folds down. And it's easy to set up. The one that I'm getting, the Tent Box Go, is 1 minute to set up. It's literally two poles, and it just goes up. And it looks like a lean-to. So it's taller on one end, and then it goes down like a triangle, and it's shorter on the other end where your feet go. But in the area where you sit and hang out, you can sit up, you know, sit there cross-legged, look around, look out the windows, and enjoy a sunset. So I'm very curious in that. But your sleeping arrangement, make sure that you have mattress pads and sleeping bags for everyone that, you know, will be evacuating with you or camping with you. And I think the pads are important if people are going to have to sleep for multiple nights in particular. And then your shelter, whether that's a tent or whatever else that you use, you're going to need something for that situation, because you don't know what the weather's going to be or anything else. And you don't want to all be sitting there in the car and have that be your only shelter, because that's fine for a few hours, but that's not good for a few days. And then we get to power. And this is where things have really changed for me over the last couple of years. I know I've talked about power stations before, portable power stations, but you know, with the changes in those power stations and the changes in my needs, this whole thing has evolved. You know, I used to look at power in the campsite as a luxury. You know, it's nice to have camp lighting, laptops, air compressors, that kind of stuff. And now I look at those items as necessities, because if I'm going to do my own thing in any location, whether I'm camping and working or bugging out, I'm going to want power. I'm going to want my laptop, because now we have more connectivity. You know, the 5G cellular, where you can get it, you can use that as your connection for your laptop, and you can still do your work pretty much as normal. You want lighting. I want lighting in there. I don't want to blow up the air mattress. I want to use a compressor to blow it up. You know, all that kind of stuff. So power has become far more important to me than it used to be. One of the evolutions that's happened is USB-C power delivery, often indicated by USB-C PD, PD standing for power delivery. And it has totally improved the charging of electronic devices, because now, for instance, my MacBook Pro charges by USB-C. Both my cameras, my Nikon ZF and my Olympus OM-1, both charge by USB-C, as well as my Fujifilm X100V. So I can just plug those into USB-C and charge them right up. I don't have to carry around chargers and all that. I just need one cord for all these devices, or at least one cord for each device, depending on how many you want to charge at once. The power stations that I'm using now and that I've been testing and writing about all have USB PD, and that typically means they'll deliver up to 100 watts over USB-C. My MacBook Pro will take around 70 watts when it's charging. The Nikon ZF and the Olympus, I think they're both around 9 watts or so when they're charging. My iPhone, the watch, everything can charge with these ports. And most of the power stations I'm testing now have two of these USB-C ports, which means I can charge two devices at once. They charge quickly, and it's intelligent charging, which means the power is metered out according to what the device needs. They don't get overcharged, all that kind of stuff. So not having to carry like the brick for your laptop to charge it, and it has to plug into AC, which isn't nearly as efficient as using the USB-C PD, all that stuff has made these power stations even cooler. In fact, now, even at the house, when I'm working at night, like when I edit this podcast, like 10, 11 at night, I don't use extension cords. If my laptop starts to run low, I just use one of these little power stations and plug it in via USB-C. It is so much easier than fooling around with an extension cord and all that kind of stuff. These power stations have really evolved. They have USB-C. Of course, they still have USB-A. That 12-volt car accessory outlet, super useful. I use it for things like the mini fridge and stuff like that. There's a lot of things that will charge with that outlet, and it's a nice hot direct current. And then, of course, you always have at least one or two AC plugs, you know, 120-volt plugs, you know, three-prongers that you can use for stuff that still requires that. Those things that require that are fewer and fewer these days because of USB-C power, USB-A, and what I can do with the accessory plug, the car accessory plug. So I used to look at 300-watt power units, but because I'm using them so much more, including for lighting and stuff, now I like them up around 1,000 watts. And 1,000 watts, honestly, is kind of in that area. Between 600 and 1,000-watt units are in that area where you can still carry them around. They're still portable, but they have enough juice to take care of you for a few days. Not just one day, but a few days. There's a Jackery that I list in the show notes here. It's a newer one. It's the Explore 600 Plus, and that is a 632-watt-hour capacity. That sells for $399. It weighs around 16 pounds. And then I have a Blue Yeti AC70 that I just wrote a review on, and I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. That has a 768-watt capacity. It weighs about 22 pounds, and it's $429. I know that that's a fair chunk of change, but these things last forever because they're using the new lithium chemistry. So they have 3,000, 4,000 full cycles. That's more than you're probably ever going to use. I use these things every day because I'm using them at the studio with solar panels. And I'm still going to have a 10-year life expectancy with them. And that's using them all the time. And they keep everything charged, and they can be recharged via solar panels or AC outlets or even the accessory port on your car if you have a situation where that works for you. Now, when I'm camping, if I'm on an extended trip, one of the things that I do is I'll camp for 2 days and then I'll use a hotel for 1 day on that third day, and that's for showering, but that's also for charging my power station because you can charge it there in the hotel via AC outlet, get it all charged up again. So you get a good meal, you get a shower, charge up your stuff, and then, you know, you're back out camping for another couple days, ready to go. So I love these power stations, and they're great for portable refrigerators. I'm not really using ice chests anymore because ice can be difficult to get sometimes. Portable refrigerator that runs off the power station is a much easier way to go, and they don't draw that much, only about 35 watts. I even have small hot water kettles if I don't want to use my jet boil. You know, it's really changed a lot. It's efficient. It packs well. And if you think about it, if you just step back and think about it for a minute, you need a quick meal. All right, so you have your dehydrated food, you have a mini power kettle, right? A mini hot water kettle that plugs into your power station. You boil the water in a few minutes. You pour it into the pouch. You're ready to eat in a few minutes. You have no cleanup, no mess, no fire even. I mean, it's really kind of neat. Once you've tested and enjoyed all of this stuff, right? And you've got it down, what I like to do is when I get back to the garage at home, then I pack these things in plastic containers with lids. They're marked. And then that way, if I have to bug out quickly, then I just grab, you know, 1, 2, 3 plastic containers. Everything's ready to go. And then you take off. I can evacuate, honestly, in about a half an hour, 45 minutes. Now, hopefully I never have to evacuate faster than that. I did once. My other evacuations, I've had more time because, you know, we're getting better at warning each other about these things. But with it being organized, unless I have to just leave immediately, I can basically take off with everything we need and be okay for a few days. Just have to find a safe place, you know, away from the house, you know, to pop up my tent, boil some water, have something to eat, and hopefully get some sleep. So I hope you found this interesting. As photographers, as adventurers, we really can combine what we like to do with sometimes what we may need to do. These two things can be simpatico. I'm trying to make it fun and trying to take the worry out of these situations. I figure if I'm ready to go and everything's tested, then whatever comes, hopefully I'll be ready to meet head on. The Bluetti AC70 Power Station Review. So I posted a comprehensive review of this power station that, by the way, is available right now. I have a link in the show notes via Amazon. It's on sale on Amazon right now for $399. This is a 1,000-watt unit for $399, and it is really cool. So what I've done is I've given a little bit of an overview in the show notes of it. I'll go over the highlights right here, but then I have the comprehensive review posted also with a link to it and a link to it being on sale until July 15th. And then after that, I think it'll probably be around $429 or something like that. Let me just read you a little bit about this. This 22.5-pound unit measures 12.4 inches by 8.2 inches by 10.1 inches. I can pick it up with one hand, carry it to the car, and it doesn't take up much room in the boot. Its LFP lithium iron phosphate batteries have a total capacity of 768 watt hours with two AC outlets, two USB-C ports that are 100 watts, a pair of USB-A ports, 12 watts, and a 12-volt DC car accessory outlet. If needed, the surge power for the AC can go up to 2,000 watts. So it does have a surge power capability. And every now and then, like I have a kettle that goes up a little bit over 1,000 watts, you know, so it's nice to know that this unit can handle those sort of things. During testing, the AC70 powered a mini fridge, hot water kettle, room fan, laptop, stereo system, LCD TV, and living room lamps. It's beefy enough to serve as backup power source at home, and mobile enough to run an entire campsite on the road. This type of versatility means that the AC70 will provide a return on its modest investment, regardless if you're a road-tripping photographer or someone who wants to trim energy costs at home with portable solar. And I'll just give you the things that I liked, and then I have a couple things on it that I think need to be improved. What I like, it has this beautiful, big, bright, informative LCD screen that tells you everything that's going on. Remember, these things aren't just lithium batteries. They have an operating system. They have a lot of electronics. You know, they are mobile enabled, which means you can control them from your iPhone. They're like computers with really big batteries. Okay, and this big LCD screen is super helpful. Dedicated standard DC input for solar panels. So all of my power stations, even when I'm at home, are refueled via solar. I have a solar panel set up on my back patio here at studio. It's a south-facing patio. The cord runs through a hole in the wall, you know, that comes into the house. And I just power the power stations via the solar panel. It's always out there and it's always going. This particular unit, the AC70, can take up to 500 watts of solar at once. That's incredible. I have units that can take up to 200 watts. I've never had a unit that can take up to 500 watts. That means you could string together two 200-watt solar panels and add another 100 watt and have a whole lot of energy coming into this thing. And because it can output and input at the same time, you can have the energy flowing into the unit then you can have things plugged into it and running at the same time. So it can simultaneously charge and output, which suddenly makes it this really interesting hub. It gives you a mini power station is what it does. You have a power station that's being fueled by solar and outputting, running your fans, computers, whatever you need. It also has super fast charging via AC outlet, which is great when you're on the road. You can charge it via a car accessory port if you want. And it even will connect to a gas generator. Not my favorite sort of thing. I much prefer solar over gas generator, but we do what we have to do in emergencies. It's very customizable. It has a robust design. And I just think it's a great value for a 1,000-watt unit, $429. And right now on Amazon, at the link I have in the show notes, $399. It's a super good deal. Now, there are two things that I think it lacks. It lacks a built-in emergency light, which some of my other power stations have. I think it's a nice convenience, especially if you're using it in that kind of situation. And it is Bluetooth only. It doesn't have Wi-Fi. The reason why that's sort of important to me is that I do like to use the phone to control the power stations. Bluetooth has a more limited range. If I'm upstairs at the studio, the power stations are downstairs. If I want to see, you know, how much power is left, or I want to change a configuration on it, then if I have Wi-Fi, I can do that anywhere in the studio. I don't have to go back downstairs and get next to it. So it would be nice if it had Wi-Fi, but those are the only two nits I had for this unit. As I said, I have a link so you can read the comprehensive review to it. It's really nice. I think it's a super unit, very practical, and it's going to be going with me on this trip that I'm doing here in a couple weeks where I'm testing the tent box. I'll also have the Bluetti AC70 with me. This is going to be a fun trip, I tell you. I found this article on getolympus.com, and I thought it was really cool. The title is The OM5 Advantage, Four Computational Features That You Need to Know. But these same computational features are in the OM1, even the EM1 Mark III. So it's a good article for people that have fairly current Olympus or OM system cameras. And they have great picture examples. And the four techniques that's covered in this article with pictures, Live ND was the first one, focus bracketing and focus stacking, 2 and 3, and multiple exposures and image overlay. So it's a handy little article. If you haven't been using these features and you have one of these cameras, I think you'll find this information very accessible. The illustrations are good. I have a link to it in the show notes, and it's called The OM5 Advantage, Four Computational Features You Need to Know, and it's on getolympus.com. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business. First thing I'd like to do is mention our Nimble Photographer newsletter that comes out every Thursday. I'm weighing a couple stories this week. I'm going to wait and see how things shake out. And that's the beauty of it. I'm recording right now. I have to record right now for our Tuesday podcast. There's a couple stories in the works. I'm going to see how they shake out. And then I'll be able to report on those Thursday when I write the newsletter. If you're interested in it, there's a newsletter link on thedigitalstory.com and nimblephotographer.com. It's free. All you have to do is sign up for it and you'll get it every time I publish one. I want to say hello to all of our Inner Circle members, this wonderful group of artists who share their thoughts, their photos, their questions on our Inner Circle space that's just for our members. They also help support this community, and I know you would love hanging out with them. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, nose around a bit. You can sign up there, and the next thing you know, you'll be getting an invite to our Inner Circle space where you can hang out with these fantastic photographers and just downright interesting folk. And finally, I want to give a big thank you to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. And I have to tell you, I'm having fun with my new Canon G620 printer. It's just this adorable little all-in-one, you know, has the scanner, it's a copy machine. It can print up to 8.5 by 14 inches. But it's the mega tank that I was talking about last week. And I feel like I'm just printing and not hardly using up any of my ink. I'm looking at my tanks right now and they haven't changed since I last did this podcast. So that is really cool. And the images are just beautiful. I learned a lot about this printer and some key information about this printer, thanks to Red River Paper. If you're thinking about getting your inkjet printing on, click on the Red River Paper tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Nose around a bit, get yourself some paper, and start making some beautiful artwork. They also have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Can't wait to get into the great outdoors. I hope you have some good things going on as well. Regardless, let's meet back here next Tuesday. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.